Madam President, I move further proceedings on the roll call to be dispensed with and the Sergeant
of
Arms.
Motion prevails. The Sergeant of Arms is instructed to bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Paul Rogers from Minneapolis. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
First a word from Shakespeare. Now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer by this son of York. Let us pray. God of the seasons, we are weary of this winter of our spring. And soon the people of this chamber will be weary from stress, exhausted from long sessions and committee meetings, from divergent demands and challenging choices. They will yearn for relief like Richard III's when his winter of discontent was turned into glorious summer by the son of York. Therefore, we ask now for your blessing. Bless the women and men of this Senate and their families. Bless the senator's aides. Bless the whole Senate staff. Bless all of these faithful people with the glorious sunshine of rest and energy, of fulfillment and satisfaction as they serve our state. And someday, bless everyone with spring. Amen.
Liberty and justice. The secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fishbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J, Peterson B, Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rude, Saxhog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Uyghur, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. We move first to the third order of business, messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file herewith returned. Senate file number 953, a bill for an act relating to health, modifying a social work licensure provision. Signed, Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
The Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of 5 members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate file. Senate file number 1589, a bill for an act relating to the operation of state government finance, allowing the Secretary of State authority to accept funds from local government units, etc. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Murphy M., Newton, Nelson, Simon, and Bernardi. Senate file number 1589 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House refuses to concur in the Senate amendments to House File number 729. House File number 729, a bill for an act relating to state government, appropriating money for jobs and economic development, commerce and consumer protection, and housing. The House respectfully requests that a conference committee of 5 members be appointed thereon. Mahoney, Atkins, Clark, Johnson S., and Gunther have been appointed as such committee on the part of the House. House file number 729 is herewith transmitted to the Senate with the request that the Senate appoint a like committee. Signed, Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the Senate accede to the request of the House for a conference committee on House File Number 729 and that a conference committee of 5 members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
All those in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Secretary will report the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House refuses to concur in the Senate amendments to House File Number 976. House File Number 976, a bill for an act relating to state government, appropriating money for environment, natural resources, and agriculture, modifying and providing for certain fees, modifying and providing for disposition of certain revenue. The House respectfully requests that a conference committee of 5 members be appointed thereon. Wagenius, Dill, Poppy, Hansen, and Falk have been appointed as such committee on the part of the House. House File Number 976 is herewith transmitted to the Senate with the request that the Senate appoint a like committee. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I move that the Senate accede to the request of the House for a conference committee on House File Number 976 and that a conference committee of 5 members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
All those in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House File Numbers 760, 779, and 1233. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
We move now to the fourth order of business, first reading of House bills. The Secretary will report the bill.
House File Number 760, a bill for an act relating to human services, updating outdated terminology.
House File 760 will be given its first reading and referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration for comparison with Senate File 655, now on general orders. First reading.
House File Number 779, a bill for an act relating to health plan regulation, regulating policy and contract coverages, conforming state law to federal requirements, establishing health plan market rules.
House File 779 will be given its first reading and referred to the Committee on Finance.
House File Number 1233, a bill for an act relating to state government, establishing the Health and Human Services budget, modifying provisions related to health care, continuing care, human services licensing, chemical and mental health, etc.
House File 1233 will be given its first reading and referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration for comparison with Senate File 1034, now on general orders. We move now to the eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. There's only one Senate bill, Senate File 1628. It will be referred as indicated, given its first reading. We move now to the ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. The motions printed on the agenda will be referred to the Committee on Rules. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move for a recess of the Senate for approximately an hour, maybe 12:15, 12:30. The Majority Caucus will caucus in room 107.
Senator Hamm.
And Madam President, the Republicans will caucus in room 112.
On the motion to recess, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate.
Madam President, I move further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The Sergeant-at-Arms is instructed to bring in the absent members. Senator Bach.
Madam President, is there a privileged report at the desk?
The Secretary will read the report.
Senator Bach from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends that the following senators be and they are hereby appointed as as a conference committee on House File Number 976. Senators Tomasoni, Saxhog, Spark, Metzen, and Westrum. And on House File Number 729, Senators Tomasoni, Saxhog, Sparks, Metzen, and Westrum. Senator Bach moved that the foregoing appointments be approved.
Senator Bach. On that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate that the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration. And members, the list is on your desk.
The first bill on special orders is number 83 on general orders, Senate File 510, Senator Marty.
Madam President, members, Senate File 510 is a bill that would change the process by which local governments can do organized collection of trash hauling. And I think a lot of you remember over the years, this has been often a very, very contentious issue. It's been a very contentious issue, but we have a situation here where we've got a lot of people coming together in support of the bill, and I wanted to, you'll notice on your desk there's a handout about the Sauk Rapids Council choosing organized collection, and the Sauk Rapids Council did that earlier this year, and they found out that one of the council members said he will personally save $256 a year by going with city organized collection. The average resident, I believe, is over $200 a year in trash hauling savings, and seniors won't even have to push their carts down to the curb. For seniors, they'll pick it up. In other words, it's a process that works. The reason I and lots of others have concerns about this is in my neighborhood, there are no sidewalks, so school kids wait for the bus on the street. And when you have, in our neighborhood, I think it's 5 garbage trucks coming down the street every Wednesday, you have 5 times as many chances that a child's going to be hit by it if you only have one. It's something that a lot of cities and communities have complained about because these are heavy trucks. They do a lot of damage to the road. And again, if there are 5 haulers in the neighborhood, they're stopping at an average of every 5th house. But what we've had is contention because these are businesses, many of them small or mid-sized businesses, who have worked hard to put their businesses together. And so as we moved to this, we were trying to find a way to come together on it. And the League of Cities and Association of Metropolitan Municipalities put together a proposal, and the small haulers and medium-sized haulers, large haulers, everybody were involved in the discussion. And I think a lot of them feel, and I think a lot of the committees this has gone through have recognized that this is probably not peace in the valley, but not open warfare either. And what we have under the bill is a very simple system, and that is that before a local government could do organized collection, a city could do it, they would have a process. They have a process now. The process is spelled out in the bill. And under subdivision section 5, before they would come together through this whole process, the city would notify all the waste haulers they have, and they'd have a chance to work and negotiate with those waste haulers about a system where each of them would have a zone encompassing their portion of their customer base in the cities. So if some hauler had 20% of the city business, another one had 40%, and so on, they would bring those haulers in, negotiate with them, and if they can come to an agreement, the city would negotiate an agreement with each of the haulers, and it would be in place for the city and their negotiated choice of somewhere between 3 and 7 years. And that's the way we would transition to organized collection. There's no mandate on the cities to do this. They don't have to do it. The haulers don't have to participate in so on. But it's a good process. And I think you'll see I'm handing out some letters from NFIB and from the Association of the Minnesota chapter of the National Association of Solid Waste Management Association supporting the bill. I think this is a case where we will both be protecting the environment, saving money, providing better service. And reflecting the business interests that have worked hard to create these businesses and that do our trash collection. I'd be happy to stand for questions and would urge your support.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give House Senate File 510 its third reading.
Senate File Number 510, a bill for an act relating to solid waste, amending process for cities to implement organized collection of solid waste.
Senator Westrom.
Madam Speaker, would the author yield, please?
Senator Marty will yield. Senator
I'm
Westrom.
Sorry. Madam President, Senator Marty, can you tell us, will this make it easier for cities to exclude small haulers from routes that they may already have, as well as customers who have choice? Or would you say it would make it harder for them to do that, or do you think it's no different?
Senator Martin.
Madam President, Senator Westrom, the bill would require the city, if they're going to go through this process, they would be bringing in the haulers. So the small haulers, even if you only have 5% of the business in the city, they would bring you in and negotiate with you on how you can retain that. So it would be, the cities would be, if you can, see I'm trying to find the language, the cities in the, would negotiate with the haulers on a way that if you had, say, 10% of the business in the city, that you'd have your 10%, but it'd all be in the same corner of the city. So you wouldn't be driving down all the city streets to do it. It's designed to protect the amount of interest that the cities, that each of the haulers have, because they've worked hard for their customer base and so on. What we found out in the city of Maplewood, I think they have 40% savings. Only two communities in the last few years have done this. Maplewood, they have like 40% savings. The Sauk Rapids, the estimate is over $200 per household. And the haulers, again, as I say, have got a letter from the National Federation of Independent Business, Mr. Hickey's, sent us a letter on this, and the small haulers, small and medium-sized haulers, have also sent a letter in support of the bill. The haulers recognize that this is fair to them, and they've been very supportive of this.
Madam President, if you would continue.
Senator Westrom.
Madam President, Senator Marty, so if I understand your answer right, and if you could correct me or confirm this is right, the small haulers would be able to negotiate, and basically the cities would come up with a geographic part of the city that would continue and be consistent with the percentage of customer base they have. It's just they wouldn't go all over the city. Is that guaranteed, or is that just what they might try to negotiate for during that 60 days? If you could give us that clarification.
Senator Marty, do you yield to the question?
Madam President, Senator Westrom.
Senator Marty.
Yes, they would. There's no requirement either that the city choose to go into the organized collection process or that they would accept this, the negotiated deal. But I think the cities recognize they've had haulers they've been dealing with in their city for years. And the haulers, again, I don't think they'd be, not all the haulers, some of the large haulers are not enthused about the bill. The small haulers, I think they recognize this protects their interest and is a fair way of dealing with it while still accomplishing the goals of saving wear and tear on the roads and making the community safer and saving money for their customers.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Marty yield?
Will Senator Marty yield?
Senator Marty, thank you very much. Senator Marty, I'm frankly deciding how I'm going to vote on this bill, and I need a little help. When I go home, Senator Marty, and talk to my local governments, we talk certainly about funding, but not too much after that comes up the concept of unfunded mandates. And it seems to me that this is probably one more unfunded mandate. And can you maybe tell me, Senator Marty, why this is, I don't know, good medicine, if you will, for our local governments, whether we should hand them one more unfunded mandate? Why is this a good idea?
Madam President, Senator Senjum.
Senator Marty.
Madam President, Senator Senjum, this is not a mandate. the letter from the Metro Cities and the League of Minnesota Cities in support of the bill. They were instrumental in helping negotiate this with the haulers. This gives them an optional process to go through, and I think you will find your local communities very much appreciate this legislation. I think you'll find them very supportive.
Senator Sinjum.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Marty, maybe just a follow-up then. I understood the bill to say that it would require local governments to form a committee and do some analysis. That's not required. That's optional.
Madam President.
Senator Marty.
Senator Sinjum, the current law already requires a very highly contentious process that's been going on the last 20 years, which is why not many cities have gone ahead with this. We're replacing that contentious process with a series of hearings and things they can do, or they can go and call in the haulers and negotiate something with the haulers. The cities think this is a big improvement. The cities were the ones who have been pushing for this. Cities, small towns, everybody is saying it. And again, if you look at the news article from the St. Cloud Times in February, Sauk Rapids, again, it's a content, just an example of this. When Sauk Rapids voted to put in this issue last year, there was an election, some of the haulers opposed some of the folks who voted to put it in. New folks came in, looked at the numbers, they concluded this makes sense. City Council, I think, unanimously passed it. They said, how could you argue against it? It saves so much money. We have a situation under this bill. I'm not going to say it's going to be total peace and quiet here, but I think we're going to have a reasonable, workable process that the haulers think is fair, the cities think is fair. This is one of those rare times when you've got what was a war in some cases, and it looks like people are willing to sit down and negotiate in a fair manner. And I think that's a win-win for the customer, for the city, for the haulers, and everyone.
Senator Sinjum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Marty, just maybe a final follow-up. So if you happen to be in a situation in my county, and you know there's certainly been discussion about this a lot, but I think right now the war is over, there's peace in the valley, things are moving forward, there's no real, that I know of, need to bring this subject up again. Can they simply, maybe best said, does this bill affect them? Can they just optionally discard any notion of this bill and move
Senator
on?
Senator Marty, do you yield to a question? And please direct your remarks through the President.
Madam President, Senator Sinjum, yes, this is totally optional. The cities do not have to do anything if this bill passes. If they do want to go ahead with organized collection, with the number of them due for the cost and other and road damage reasons, they are able to do this. And again, the haulers, again, I'm not saying this is total peace in the valley. I'm saying some of the larger haulers are not thrilled with this. But the small haulers and the NFIB and others are supporting the bill because they recognize it's a fair process. And again, it allows people, the Sauk Rapids case I mentioned earlier, seniors won't have to push the carts down to the curb anymore. The hauler agreed as part of the contract they will pick them up at the garage in Sauk Rapids and so on. So they're able to negotiate a good thing, and it's cheaper because the trucks don't have to drive down and stop at every fourth house. They can stop at every one. They drive a lot less. So I really do think this is a win-win, and if you talk to your cities, I think you'll find the same thing. And the haulers, I believe, same thing as well.
Further discussion on Senate File 510. Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll. Members will please vote. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 66 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Next bill on special orders is number 98 on general order, Senate file 924, Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate file 924 is the Department of Employment and Economic Development's unemployment bill, which contains language the department needs for federal conformity and housekeeping purposes. Article 1 is federal conformity provisions and deals with the shared work program. You will notice that the majority of these changes are technical or clarifying in nature, but are necessary to conform with federal requirements. With these changes, Minnesota will be able to access federal funds to pay for the shared work plan. Section 9 in that article authorizes the state to access those funds for this purpose. Article 2 contains some miscellaneous policy provisions. Sections 3, 4, and 6 are technical changes that will help with programming issues and save significant staff time in operating the system. The other three sections, sections 1, 2, and 5, deal with the CLIME, Converting Layoffs into Minnesota Businesses program, to help dislocated workers establish the skills to start their own business. In order for the unemployment insurance benefits, a worker must be available for the actively seeking unemployment. However, under these provisions, if a dislocated worker is in the CLIME program, they are considered to be in reemployment assistance training and eligible for benefits while they work toward opening their own businesses. This language, the language in the bill went through the UI Advisory Council, which is made up of business, labor, and non-profit representatives. It was also heard in the Jobs, Agriculture, and Rural Development Bill and was passed unanimously. I would ask for member support.
Discussion on Senate File 924. Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 924 its third reading.
Senate File Number 924, a bill for an act relating to unemployment insurance, regulating the shared work program to conform to federal law.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 924. Members will please vote. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 56 ayes and 10 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Next bill on Senate on special orders is number 69 on general order, Senate file 1270, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Senate file number 1270 is the Omnibus Transportation Policy Bill. Members, this omnibus bill contains, I think at my count, something on the order of 20 individual bills. But many more sections than that, because several of the bills are fairly extensive agency, technical, and housekeeping bills. Members, what I will do is I will read through the bills in bill number order, who the chief author is, a brief description of what that bill does, except for the agency technical bills, which I'll defer mostly to Senator Kent, who's carrying three of those, and then she'll take over and give some detail about the provisions in those bills, then respond to questions and take amendments. We have Senate File 91, Chief Author Senator Senjum, and that has to do with requesting that MnDOT review surplus property from time to time, give a report to the legislature about surplus property and recommendation of what to do with that. We have Senate file, and I'll also give the section number while I'm providing this description. So that's in section number 8. We have Senate file 174, which removes the prohibition against the study planning for the Dan Patch commuter rail that had been amended in committee. That's a Senator Dahl provision in section 48. We have Senate file 185, Senator Carlson, just putting in statute the existing ombudsperson at the Department of Transportation. We have Senate file 414 and 415. These are Senator Dietzick provisions that have to do with prohibiting parking in bicycle lanes, as well as ensuring for safety as cars are traveling into and through bicycle lanes. Those are in sections 29, 26, 27, and 28. And I'll back up. Senator Carlson's provision is in section 40. Senator Dahl's section is in section 48. Senate file 486 is in the bill. That's a Senator Dahl provision. And that authorizes the Department of Transportation to do a quit claim deed and swap some property for the purpose of establishing a rest area in Le Sueur County. And that's exchanging some land with Cambria that owns property nearby. They want to do an expansion. There's a rest stop there, and so the rest stop would need to be replaced. And that's in section 52. Senate file 590, authored by Senator Carlson. That's in section 51. And that's requiring that the City of St. Paul and the Metropolitan Council allow for disabilities access from the Central Corridor light rail by elevator up into the Skyway system in downtown St. Paul. Senate file 608, that's a Senator Rest provision with a number of school bus safety requirements. Those are sections 24, 32, 33, and 34. Senator Rest is in the chair, so I'll just give a brief description of those items. It modifies the definition of a Type 3 vehicle to say passenger vehicles rather than specifying cars, station wagons, and vans. Adds to the prohibitions of school bus drivers communicating over cell phones, saying that they may not use cell phones while the vehicle is in motion or a part of traffic. Changes the regulation requiring bus drivers to wear a seatbelt that is properly adjusted, including the shoulder and lap belt, and states that Type 3 vehicles may carry fire extinguishers and other items in their trunk or rear area of their vehicle. Senate File 692, a Senator Senjum provision, and that's in Section 56, and that says that MnDOT must place a specific service sign for a business on Trunk Highway 52, I believe, on the approach into Rochester. This is for a Red Wing shoe store. That's a prohibited type of businesses for that sort of notification on the freeway, but it's a real problem for visibility and has affected that business very negatively because there's a noise wall that blocks the view until it's too late to go to that, to pull over and shop at that store if you don't already know about it. Senate File 700 is a Senator Scoy provision, and that but I believe it was offered by amendment by Senator Jensen that refrained, that is a federal conformity provision directing agencies to not enforce laws that are in conflict with the new Federal Surface Transportation Authorization Act, known as MAP 21. That's in Section 53. Let's see. We have Senate File 772. That is Senator Kent's MnDOT housekeeping bill. And you can find those provisions, and she'll describe those later, in sections 1, 2, 3, 4, 9, 10, 11, 41, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, and 57. Senate File 779 was offered by Senator Champion, and that has to do with what are known as the ABC ramps, the I-394 ramps. Those are the large ramps at the west edge of downtown Minneapolis, and it allows for the parking fees for multimodal purposes, the managed lane purposes, technology improvements, etc. You'll find that in Section 7. Senate File 802, Senator Kent, authorizing some turnbacks from MnDOT to local jurisdictions in sections 5, 6, 54, and 55. Senate File 851 from Senator Carlson. This makes some changes to some of the regulations and some of the provisions that relate to disability parking and signs in private parking lots, sections 30 and 31. Senate File 875, that's a Senator Franzen provision, and it establishes a public-private partnership office in the Department of Transportation, and that's section 42. Senate File 923, this is Senator Kent's Department of Public Safety housekeeping bill. Many sections, again, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 27, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 36, 37, 38, 39, and 57A. Senate File 947 is in the bill. That's Senator Reinert's provision, which allows for increasing the allowable vehicle weight for truck idle reduction technology. And that's in section 35. Senate File 948, Senator Kent. That's going to be amended, but the current language allows Washington County to make use of Regional Rail Authority property tax funds for the local costs of developing bus rapid transit. But we're going to make that change that so that all counties in the metro area can do so, and that's section 50. Senate File 1210, I believe, was brought in by amendment. That's Senator Westrom's provision, and that increases speed limits from 55 to 60 on trunk highways. We have in section 23 MnDOT correction, which adjusts a tow truck permit and makes a cross-reference. We have a section 49, Senator Reinert has offered an amendment extending the sunset for a driver diversion pilot program. And Madam President, I believe that is the entirety of the bill in high-level overview. I will respond to questions, or we can take amendments.
Discussion on Senate File 1270, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Would the author yield?
Senator Dibble, do you yield? He does. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Dibble, there was a bill that your committee had a hearing that particular day when we had the hearing. You were not present. You had other duties elsewhere. It was regarding the possible access on Highway 94 for the city of Dayton. That would be between Rogers and Maple Grove. I was wondering, the representatives of that city will be asking me, how can we gain the attention to get a freeway cut and an access and an on and off ramp there at that location? And I was wondering if you could give me some advice to give them so I could go back and tell them how to work on this particular project. As you might be aware of, there's 6 miles in a metropolitan area where there's no freeway access. Either you have to get on and off in Maple Grove, or you have to go all the way up to Rogers, and that area is constantly at a standstill during rush hour traffic. Ambulances can't even go down that freeway. Oftentimes it takes a helicopter from North Memorial to shuttle patients back and forth or those needing help. Could you give me some direction on what I can tell them to be included in the next bill next year?
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President, and Madam President, Senator Limmer. We had a number of those kinds of hearings about specific interchanges or stretches of highway or you name it. Part of our goal in having those hearings, I encourage folks, of course, to develop those bills and introduce them, and we hear them all for the purpose of bringing the community out to have the hearing, to have the public discussion, to engage the Department of Transportation in that forum and setting, and that helps. I also believe that If we were to pass a comprehensive transportation finance bill, that would help a lot too, because that would bring additional resources. That's really what we're talking about, is the fact that our resources and our transportation budget are so tight. So I would encourage your local officials, of course, to support our finance bill. You too, as well. That would be a big boon. But in terms of putting those specific projects into the bill, giving MnDOT specific direction to build certain things in certain areas, Madam President, I'm reluctant to do that. That hasn't happened in my experience since I've been here at the legislature. I have seen a little nod and a nudge in certain places. But if we go about the business of developing what we call the STIP, the Surface Transportation Improvement Plan, the transportation bill will be even more political than the bonding bill, which is where we do a lot of politics and a lot of deal cutting. Maybe that's a good thing. I think that would be a bad thing for our overall transportation system. I will say we do have a couple of initiatives that are in the finance bill that allow for marshaling some resources for some identified priorities that communities have come up with in conjunction with the Department of Transportation, local leadership, their area transportation districts, and their area planning organizations, like the Corridors of Commerce, the TED program, Transportation Economic Development. That in particular is a good opportunity for folks to prioritize projects if we have additional resources without bumping other things that are already on the list. TED, for example, allows for a match by the local area or by a nearby benefiting property or the like. Those are some ideas that we have. But going back to an earlier comment, I am reluctant to stick those specific projects in statute, because there's no end to that, and then we'll never actually build anything on a logical basis across the state. We'll only build things that get directed out of this chamber, and so then the only people who ever actually get projects done are the most powerful legislators in this chamber, and that doesn't serve our entire community. You're a very powerful legislator. You'll get a lot of stuff done in your district.
Mr. Powerful, Senator Limmer, anything further? Is there further discussion? Senator Kent, and then Senator Hall. Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam President. As Senator Dibble alluded, I'm going to... As Senator Dibble alluded, I'm going to provide additional detail on the agency bills that I have been carrying that are a part of the omnibus bill. Specifically, Senate File 772 was the MnDOT housekeeping bill, which allows attractions on the road signs, the blue road signs. This is conforming to federal regulations. The emergency relief account, it is modifying the types of work that are eligible for emergency funds. And specifies how to handle interest on the emergency fund, providing some cash flow relief within the management of that. We provide greater Minnesota transit assistance. Again, this is another case that simplifies some administrative processes in terms of managing the process for the schedule of payments. It changes the policies regarding yield signs at rail crossings, because state law currently allows stop signs that don't have crossings that don't have flashing lights or gates where appropriate, whereas federal law allows yield signs, and this proposal updates state laws to also allow the yield signs. There's an additional provision for medical examiner medical waivers requiring that interstate commercial motor vehicle drivers obtain medical certificates from certified medical examiners, and this is making it consistent with new interstate carrier requirements. The other MnDOT housekeeping bill is for trunk highway turnbacks. There are two sort of traditional turnbacks. One is Trunk Highway 235 in Ottertail County, and the other is Trunk Highway 66 in Blue Earth County in Mankato. And in both of these cases, all the local jurisdictions are in agreement. In addition, MnDOT will turn a portion of Trunk Highway 298 over to the Department of Corrections in Faribault. And finally, there is just an administrative detail in the creation of the new St. Croix River Crossing in Oak Park Heights, and a new route number is added there. And the final agency bill is the Driver and Vehicle Services Policy Bill, and there are several housekeeping changes to various permits and vehicle registration sections to ensure that current business practices are consistent with the statutory provisions. In other areas, there are policy changes that impact motor vehicle dealers and grant the commissioner necessary authority to conduct federally required background checks of certain employees, again, conforming with new federal changes. And these it can apply to permits, an enhanced driver's license and identification card, the commercial driver's licenses, some dealer provisions, and I will have an amendment within the dealer area and also within motor vehicle registration. Thank you, Madam President.
Further discussion on Senate File 1270, Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to move Amendment 24.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Hall moves to amend Senate File Number 1270 as follows. Page 18 after line 14, insert. And this is the A24 amendment.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, this is the infamous 35E speed limit change bill. I'm assuming that even the new members have heard about this. If not from your own caucus, from the constituents you have in your areas, in the whole United States, there is not a freeway, an interstate, that has a 45 or less speed limit on it, except at this portion in St. Paul. From 7th Street, 35E, on, from 7th Street to 94. The highway was built for the speed of 50 miles an hour. I'm asking in this amendment that we would change the speed limit from 45 only to 50. And the reason is because at this point I know it's been it was constructed for that speed limit. The history of this is about 29 years ago. Some of the folks in St. Paul, those that lived near the freeway, sued the state when they were trying to build this, and there was a settlement. And many people think that that settlement cannot be even challenged. The legal folks that I've talked to have all said any settlement can be challenged, and that's all we're asking to do. By changing the speed limit, the settlement will have to be challenged. Time is money. Think of how many of your constituents drive on 35E heading up north or from the north side heading south. Every time, I shouldn't say every time, to be real honest, it's not every time. Most of the time when I hit it coming to the Capitol, I take a big sigh and go, oh no, I got to slow down for St. Paul. I think it's a black eye for St. Paul. I would think they would want to do it. Think of the money that's lost in our economy because of the wasted amount of time. Think of your union members that waste time because they have to slow down. Yeah, it's only a little bit of time for that distance. But time is money. Add up all the people that have driven through there and think about how much productive they'd be if they had that little bit of time, the rest of their time. Now, the establishment of this lawsuit was settled, and the complaint was that there's a sound problem. That sound problem isn't there any longer. And even if it was, and I'll tell you
Senator
why it's there, because
Senator Hall, please address your remarks to the president.
Madam President, thank you. I get going here, and it's a little tough.
Mind you,
keep my feet straight. The surface of that highway interstate has been changed. It was cement. It is now blacktop, bituminous, and bituminous is quieter. Our cars have been changed, our tires have been changed, And they say even if none of that have changed, if you don't change a speed limit greater than 10 miles an hour, you're not changing the sound it makes anyway. We're only asking for 5 miles an hour. With all that, I believe that it's a state road. It's not a St. Paul road. I know they've tried to protect that for years, 29 years so far. I know it's come up almost every year, in the last 10 years at least. I think for our economy's sake, we need to challenge the lawsuit. We need to change the speed limit only up to 55. There's many other speed limit changes within this bill, and I think it's a fairness issue. So, members, I would hope that you would vote green with me.
Discussion on the...
Madam President?
Just once. The A24 amendment.
I would ask for a roll call also, please.
A roll call will be taken. Senator Cohen.
And, Madam President, has there been a call of the Senate requested for this bill?
No.
Although I'd so move.
Senate's under call. For the balance of the bill, Senator Cohen?
For this amendment, Madam President. I don't know what Senator Dibble would want to do. Madam President, I move that further proceedings on the call be dispensed with and the Sergeant Arms be instructed to bring in the absentees.
On that motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, say no.
And
the motion prevails. Sergeant of Arms will bring in the absent members. Senator Cohen.
Madam President?
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, let me spend a couple of minutes responding to Senator Hall. I've had some involvement with this issue for many, many years, going back to my first term in the House of Representatives. I actually have some personal involvement to a much greater extent in the last year or so, where my house was sold, and at least on a temporary basis, I'm living close to 35. So I now use the 35 highway to and from the state capitol. And I'm driving the road on a daily basis, as is Senator Hall. I'm not quite sure, now that I'm driving the road, why the concern is relative to the speed limit. The concern I have with Senator Hall's amendment as presented to us is that Senator Hall suggests that we're just asking for an increase from 45 to 50. Obviously, as you increase the increments of the speed limit, the vehicles don't drive at 45. They drive at somewhere 45 to 55, even depending on law enforcement being there or not being there, as high as 60 and 65. So you can bet that when the speed limit is raised, it'll incrementally raise all of the traffic, and the noise will be of some significance. Senator Hall has suggested that this is an issue that should not be a St. Paul issue. But the reality is that the history of St. Paul in regard to this highway is such that, number one, there would be no highway absent the consent of the city of St. Paul. And I was in the House, a member of the other body, when the moratorium on construction was lifted. There was no I-35 at that point allowing for access from the south to the north. It simply did not exist because of a moratorium that had been in place many years prior to that. So that was the first step, where St. Paul consented to lifting of the moratorium. But it was based upon, then later, the federal consent decree. Senator Hall has suggested that you can challenge a consent decree, an order of the federal court, and Senator Hall is absolutely correct. You can do that if you go back to federal court. But certainly a state legislature can't take action in opposition to a federal court order. The court order signed by Judge Magnuson, which I've had distributed, is dated May 11, 1984. There has been no other court action on the part of citizens from, as best I know, from Dakota County or Scott County or any other county south of 35. There's been no court action taken by residents of northern Ramsey County. I'm not aware of any action in the federal court that would countermand the consent decree signed by Judge Magnuson. And if you look at the order, you'll note I mentioned the date, but you'll note that the Secretary of Transportation at that time was Elizabeth Dole, and the Commissioner of Transportation in Minnesota was Richard Braun. So obviously this has been a longstanding order. It's one that, if it was not in place, you would have seen more significant action from St. Paul to try to prohibit traffic, to do other kinds of things. This was a compromise reached between the affected citizens, and to be fair, there are principally two Senate districts that are impacted by this, my district and Senator Pappas' district. Given where redistricting has gone in the city of St. Paul, I think it would be fair to state that the St. Paul districts impacted are those two. In fact, 35 is the boundary between the two Senate districts. This is, again, an issue that was arrived at, a compromise that was arrived at between MnDOT, between the Federal Transportation Agency, between the citizens of St. Paul that were affected. And for the state legislature to come into the middle of this is unwarranted, unnecessary, and inappropriate. And I would ask members, I understand how people to the south of St. Paul feel there's a little bit of inconvenience. Now, having experienced the roadway on a daily basis, I'll suggest to people, I don't know why it's thought there's such a great inconvenience. I have not noted it as a frequent driver now on 35, a daily driver on 35, and I would suggest to members that this amendment is not well taken, and I would ask the membership to vote no on the amendment.
Further discussion of the A24 amendment. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. I am opposed to the A24 amendment. Senator Cohen is absolutely correct. There's no way to overcome the consent decree unless all parties to the agreement agree to a change, the original judge overturns the agreement, or there's an act of Congress. We don't even have the ability to make this change, Madam President.
Further discussion of the A24 amendment. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. I was wondering if Senator Dibble might be, or maybe even Senator Cohen, could yield to this question. Not too long ago, we had a discussion on the floor of the Senate regarding,
Madam President.
Further discussion of the A24 amendment. Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, for Senator Limmer's edification, the older you get, the worse it's going to get, too.
Further discussion of the A24 amendment. Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not to belabor this any longer. This will come up every year. This is a state issue. This does deal with your constituents. I believe we are being held hostage by St. Paul over this, and it can be challenged, and that's all I'm asking us to do, is to challenge this and bring some equity to our state here by allowing this to happen. Vote green, please.
Senator Limmer.
Madam Chair, it took a while, but I've got the reference that I needed. Not too long ago, we passed a bill that was going to violate a state Supreme Court order. You might remember the baby DNA discussion. This body didn't hesitate to pass a law that would disregard the destruction of genetic data regarding baby DNA. So if that's permissible on the Senate floor, Senator Hall's motion is definitely in order.
Senator Limmer, there has not been a point of order raised. Senator Cohen.
Madam President, just a quick response to Senator Limmer. If the state legislature of the state of Minnesota wants to overturn a state Supreme Court decision, the legislature could well have the authority to do that. Now, there might be a determination by the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court, that it's inappropriate, but we have the authority to overturn a state Supreme Court decision. What we don't have is the authority to overturn a federal court decision. And the case law is replete relative to that issue. The second thing is just the last the reference Senator Hall made to challenging St. Paul. Without getting back into that, let me suggest that if the avenue taken is to go to the Attorney General and ask the Attorney General to pursue an action either in federal district court or in an appropriate state district court relative to what's taking place, that would be the appropriate avenue relative to this federal decision. Obviously, the Attorney General has standing to appear in a federal district court, but the state legislature does not.
Further discussion on the A24 amendment. Senator Dibble?
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Hall, I, for one, would be disappointed if it didn't come back every year. We kind of miss Senator Day and some of his traditions, and it would be a shame to lose this tradition, so I hope we do hear it every year.
Secretary will take the roll on the A24.
Madam President.
Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Hahn.
Thank you. And I just wanted to follow up on Senator Cohen's remark and wondered if he would be willing to, he mentioned a way to address this issue by addressing something to the Attorney General. I'm just wondering if Senator Cohen would be willing to have this body act in such a way as to make that request and whether Senator Cohen would join with us in doing that instead of this. If he would express an interest in that, perhaps the author could be persuaded to pursue that route with Senator Cohen's assistance. Would Senator Cohen be willing to do that?
Senator Hahn, are you asking Senator Cohen to yield?
Madam President, I'm asking if Senator Cohen would be willing to answer that question.
I take that as a request for Senator Cohen to yield. He yields. Senator Cohen.
Madam President and Senator Hahn, I was simply trying to help the body out relative to the rules of a federal civil procedure. The answer to your direct question is, of course not. I don't support the issue, at least as articulated by Senator Hahn. I'm sorry, Senator Hall.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm strongly in favor of raising the speed limit at that area, but I just thought it was interesting that Senator Dibble has pointed out yet another thing our Attorney General could do but hasn't done on behalf of the state of Minnesota.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and members, everything has its time, and I think it's time to get this done. I've had this bill, I've probably had the floor member on it, amendment on it, which means nothing, frankly, but suffice to say that tens of thousands, probably over the course of a year, millions of people would appreciate being able to drive a little faster than 45 miles an hour on this stretch of highway. It is absolutely ridiculous to have that stretch of highway tagged, if you will, at 45 miles an hour. It's virtually, I think, inappropriate for that highway. There's too much invested in it. Cars are meant to go a little faster than 45 miles an hour, especially on a highway like this. So, members, just let's get it done, and let's not talk about the thing next year or the year after. I think its time has come. Let's get it. Let's get this done today. Let's support Senator Hall's amendment.
Senator Hayden.
Well, thank you, Madam President. I was just trying to, as Senator Senjum was talking about how long he has been trying to get this deal done, and I was asking Senator Metz and Senator Dibble, and I don't remember last year. I know that the last 2 years the GOP was in control of this body, and Senator Senjum, you were the majority leader at one point. Can you, Madam President, could Senator Senjum yield?
Senator Senjum, do you yield?
Senator Senjum, can you help me understand?
Yield. Senator Hayden.
Last year, and I really am not being facetious, I don't know the history. Could you tell me last year if this was brought up and if the body voted on it and what happened to this provision?
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Hayden, you know, frankly, I don't remember. I think so. I know we talked about it. Whether or not we did it as a floor amendment, I don't believe it was in Senator Gimsey's bill at his request. I know he didn't want to bother with it last year. We talked about it. I don't know if we had an amendment or not. Maybe Senator Hall can help me.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, last year we did have the bill. It was my bill, and Senator Metzen was a co-author on it with me, and I appreciate that. As I remember, I was not able to make the transportation committee meeting when they had a committee to go over it at the very end, and if I'm not mistaken, Senator Dibble didn't like the bill, asked it to be pulled, and was voted to be pulled out of the bill. So that's where it went.
Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. To Senator Hayden's question, I don't know that it was last year, but in the last biennium, I do remember an omnibus transportation bill. There were a couple of amendments that went on that were quite unsavory in Senator Dibble's opinion, one of which was, and I think Senator Senjum is the one who offered the amendment for the practice freeway, and that amendment did go on. And then I offered another amendment that went on, and at that point, as I recall, Senator Dibble got up and said, now we have a big stink bomb of a bill or something to that end. So I distinctly remember that it was indeed in the last biennium, anyway, a provision that was voted on the floor as a floor amendment. And I believe it was Senator Senjum that did that, and it did get into the bill. In the end, it was obviously not part of the package.
Senator Hayden.
Madam Chair, and I know we have to move on with this bill, but I think that just kind of illustrates the point that in the last biennium, many members who are voting for this bill, except for my seatmate here, were in control of this body. And as the remarks back to Senator Dibble and his distaste for or dislike or not wanting to support the bill, I just find the irony that Senator Dibble was not the chair of the Transportation Committee, nor was he in the majority party. So I just wanted to kind of get that out to say that it looks like a lot of the folks that are going to be voting for this when the opportunity was to pass it, somehow it didn't get passed. And it sounds like, if I'm hearing members right, that it was because of those of us that were in the minority of the time didn't like the bill. And I just wanted to make sure I heard that right.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam President. I think what we can take out of that from last year is that it's not a it's not a partisan bill. It's nonpartisan. Both sides of the aisle would like to see this thing eliminated and the speed limit changed. And so let's do it. Let's do it. As Senator Senjum well said, it's about time.
Secretary will take the roll on the A24 amendment. The Senate is under call. Members, please vote. Senate is under call. Members will 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 please vote. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 32 ayes and 35 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion of Senate Files 1270. Senator Osmet.
Thank you, Madam President. I would move the A-17 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Osmick moves to amend Senate file number 1270 as follows. Page 20, delete section 29. This is the A-17 amendment.
Senator Osmett on the A-17 amendment.
Thank you, Madam President. We had a long discussion about this in transportation, and it was a very divided vote. This amendment is going to be striking out the provision, really the only provision, which is number 14 in section 29, which is designating bicycle lanes to be no parking. I feel it's unnecessary. It's a solution that's really in search of a problem. Local jurisdictions already have the ability to sign these locations right now. It requires, under this bill or this change, to have, in order to have parking in a marked bike lane area, you will have to actually sign it saying parking is allowed, which is completely reverse of what we have right now. It creates new laws, or a new law that drivers will likely not know about until they first get ticketed. The impact to businesses is going to be fairly significant also, because you're going to be taking away parking that in many times is going to be right in front of their business. It promotes the elimination, actually it promotes eliminating or having fewer bike lanes, because local jurisdictions are going to be very reticent to be putting in bike lanes, particularly again in front of businesses. It really is a local issue that the local jurisdictions can deal with, and as I said in committee, if there is a problem, if it is not safe, if local jurisdictions feel that they need to have no parking in a certain area or in a bike lane, it's very simple. They simply take out their sign machine and put a no parking sign up, and that solves the problem. It also informs people where they can park and where they can't park. Under this change to law, you're not going to probably know about it until you get your first ticket. So with that, I recommend a green vote. Thank you.
On the A-17 amendment, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I'm not in support of the A-17 amendments. Madam President, members, in those instances where a city has taken the time and effort to establish a bike lane, keep in mind we're talking about separately marked bike lanes that are specifically to indicate that this is a place of safe passage for bicycles, and not bike paths or, you know, kind of bike routes that are kind of signed and indicated. But in those instances where there's a solid line and a bicycle, painted on the ground, this is a signal that this is a place where bicycles travel safely. A vehicle parked in that bike lane can create fairly extremely unsafe situations, forcing bicyclists to suddenly merge onto adjacent travel, dodging in and out. Madam President, members, it simply defeats the entire purpose of establishing bike lanes for the purpose of encouraging bike travel through our cities. Madam President, members, this is simply an acknowledgement that bicycles really do need that consistent message that they need to be treated like any other vehicle that are using our roads, and they have some expectation of safe travel.
Further discussion of the A-17 amendment. Senator Dietzick.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to echo what Senator Dibble was saying. Bike transportation is a growing mode of transportation. It is a growing mode. There's about 20,000 people in the metro area that bike to work daily. It is a safety issue. It is a consistency issue, so as they cross boundaries, everybody knows what the rules are, and it also is a public safety issue, because if you're weaving in and out of behind parked cars, as you weave into the actual road of the traffic lane, cars maybe not won't see you. There are additional ways. Cities aren't just going to remove parking. They are going to have plenty of town meetings and neighborhood meetings discussing about the need for a bike lane and parking. They can also reduce and shrink lanes and it actually slows traffic, so it makes it more safer to actually fit in parking in a bike lane. And then again, it's just a consistency and safety matter. So I will ask for a red vote. Thanks.
Senator Hand.
Thank you. I just have a question. If cities want to do this, why don't they just put up signs that say no parking, where they don't want cars to park? If Minneapolis, for example, they don't want to have cars in their city, they should just put up signs. We don't want cars here. We want you to ride the train or ride your bike, but we don't want cars here. We don't want you to park on the street. They could do that. But why pass a law making everybody in the state have to comply with this? I bet there's most people in the state don't even realize what a bike lane is and won't even realize when they're parking in one illegally. And maybe it's going to be a bonanza for local law enforcement. Maybe it's a way to get more tax or more money out of the beleaguered taxpayers of the state. I don't know what the purpose is. But if a city doesn't want to have cars parked on the street and they want to drive cars out of their city, then they haven't put up signs. That's what I don't understand. If that's what your objective is, then do that. But passing a law that is only going to confuse the motorists, is only going to be a way to collect fines, I think is ridiculous.
Further discussion on the A-17 amendment. Senator Peterson.
Madam President, would Senator Dibble yield?
Senator Dibble, will you yield? He does. Senator Peterson.
Madam President and Senator Dibble, the question I have for you, in my view, I think the businesses that are going to be affected by this, typically I think, are pizza delivery services, lunch delivery services, UPS, FedEx type delivery services, where somebody needs to pull up in front of a business for a short period of time, drop something off, and move on. I'm not sure this body wants to stand in front of somebody's hot pizza or chilled deli sandwich that might get warm. And so I would propose, ask Senator Dibble if what his solution might be. I don't think we want our UPS delivery trucks or our Domino's pizza delivery members of this community driving around and around and around the block looking for a place to park. Senator Dibble, do you have an answer or a solution for those types of delivery organizations?
Senator Dibble.
Well, Madam President, I absolutely do not want to stand between my constituents and their nice, warm, hot, timely pizza. But in my experience, a lot of the folks who make these deliveries are young, very resourceful and intelligent college students, and I'm guessing they'll figure this out. But, Madam President, it's similar to, I actually got a ticket once pulling up just to simply pick up someone who was dashing out the door of a building, a business, because there I was, you know, standing, that expression is standing, when you just park temporarily in a travel lane. It's a similar idea. Bicycles, where they've taken the trouble to create a separately striped and signed bike lane, that's an indication that, you know, that's a place where bikes have an expectation of reasonable and safe travel. We've done a study, the Minneapolis, City of Minneapolis and others have done studies about, you know, who's responsible for bike vehicle collisions and injury and worse that's resulted. And the findings were it's about an even split. Bicycles are about responsible for half of the accidents and injuries, and automobile drivers are responsible for the other half. And this is just simply an attempt to improve that safety record. More and more folks are biking on our streets. That's desirable, that's legitimate, that's a good thing. More and more cities are making those investments in their infrastructure, marking these bike lanes, making sure that there is safe passage around their cities for folks who bicycle. On those streets that are identified as good places for folks to bicycle. In my own neighborhood, it's not up and down the major arterials like Hennepin Avenue and Lindale Avenue and the like. It's just like one-off, in other places. And they've indicated, where it's a good place for safe travel. And that is mitigated. That's kind of unwound and undone when you're simply letting folks park willy-nilly all over those bike lanes, just like you wouldn't want folks to park or stand in vehicle travel lanes.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Osmick's right. The City of Minneapolis has this authority already to designate certain areas as no parking. This bill failed on its first
time. Senator Pratt, please address your comments to the President.
Sorry, Madam Chair, I have Senator Hall's affliction. Anyway, Madam President, this bill failed its first time through committee. One of the reasons was bike lanes are not standard throughout the state. And depending on where you're at in the state, it's certainly reasonable that in many of our communities, bike lanes go from the curb out, and therefore our cities will now have to sign those as parking permitted.
the city of Minneapolis basically admitted that this was an opportunity for them not to expend the money to designate these areas as no parking, to have the state designate them as no parking, and push the cost onto our cities and our citizens throughout the rest of Minnesota. So I encourage the membership to vote in favor of this amendment.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. Before I mention my comments, I just want the body to know that I am an avid biker, or at least I was before I had children. I'm not getting out as much as I would like to. But I have concerns about this provision in the bill. I rise in support of the amendment. We had a long, very healthy discussion in committee. Frankly, I'm a little bit surprised to see this provision in the bill because there was not support in the committee to put it in there. I have concerns from being a member from Greater Minnesota. We have bike lanes throughout our communities, and the bike lanes are also areas where cars park. And in the city of Winona, where parking is a minimum, especially because it's a college town, we already have a lot of issues with parking. And if we take away these parking spots because they're in a bike lane, it's going to cause a lot of concerns and problems in the communities that I represent. Or if we have to put signs up, that's going to be added cost to our local community. So I certainly support the intent, and I think if local communities want to do this, they can certainly do that locally, but we should not be here passing a state law, putting an unfunded mandate on our local units of government.
Senator Osment.
Thank you, Madam President. In response to some of the conversation that we've had on this, I fully agree with Senator Miller. This is really sort of turning our law on its head, because what you're doing is, instead of having what we have now and making Minneapolis, because this is where this is coming from, let's be honest about this. This is from the city of Minneapolis. They want this. They don't want to pay for the signs. Instead of the local jurisdiction paying for the signs to take forth on the policy that they want to implement, they're making the rest of the state put up signs to say, no, we don't want to do that policy. It's sort of turning our parking laws and our driving laws on their ears. In response to something that Senator Dietzick indicated, she talked about compressing and, you know, compressing down and putting more bike lanes and compressing traffic. Well, that actually increases the likelihood of bikes interacting with cars in a negative way. You know, with local jurisdictions are going to find out more and more by putting in a bike lane that they lose all of this additional parking, which is very, very valuable for small business owners. They need to have that parking as much directly in front of their business as they can. By doing this, you're taking away that parking, you're impacting their business and having a negative impact on small businesses in Minnesota. So with that, I still recommend a green vote, and I do request a roll call, please.
Roll call. Senator Peterson.
Madam President, members, if you live in Greater Minnesota, you ought to be voting green on this amendment. Just this morning, I took a question from a member of this body that said, hey, you know, I live in a community where I go to church, and my community just put in a bike lane on two sides of the property. And every Sunday morning, people come into the church, and they park along the curb. Members, guess what they're doing? They're parking in the bike lane. So what's the solution for these small communities in Greater Minnesota? Is to put up signs and say you can park here on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. So we're creating a situation where one large community is not going to have to sign, and every other community in the state of Minnesota is going to have to sign the directions to the motorists that are going to park in that spot. Members, I would encourage you to vote green on this amendment, because our communities in Greater Minnesota, Senator Dibble, our communities are trying to develop a multimodal system that includes bikes. And we have smaller communities like St. Cloud or regional centers like Mankato or Duluth that are putting in bike lanes. That's a good thing. They're participating. They want to be part of this multimodal system in the state of Minnesota. Their planning commissions are working towards this goal, and now we have a provision in a bill that's going to punish those communities by having to spend money and put up those signs and punish those motorists for parking in those spots where they may have just put in a bike lane, where they're just starting to educate motorists on the importance of these bike lanes. And members, so if you live in greater Minnesota, I think those are all reasons, good reasons, why you should be voting green and taking this provision out of this bill.
Secretary will take the roll on the A-17 amendment.
Amen.
Senator Dietzick.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, members. We did have a good discussion in committee on this bill. I just want to let people know that the League of Minnesota Cities supports it, the Statewide Bike Coalition supports this provision in the bill, and also the planner from the City of Winona actually supports this provision. So I ask for a red vote. Thank you.
Secretary will take the roll on the A-17 amendment. Members desiring to vote, please vote. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 33 ayes and 34 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 1270. Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Madam President. I have the A-15 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Sparks moves to amend Senate File number 1270 as follows, page 29 after line 22. This is the A-15 amendment.
Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Madam President. Congress addressed this issue last summer and passed a law that includes ag, wholesalers, and retailers in the exemptions. States have 3 years to comply with the new law. The A-15 amendment simply conforms our state law to the new federal law by expanding the distance and by including agriculture, retail, and wholesale distribution. The amendment is not controversial, and I would appreciate member support. I have spoken with Senator Dibble, and I believe he would accept this as a friendly amendment.
Discussion of the A-15 amendment. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. I do understand that this is conformity to federal law and the recently passed federal surface transportation reauthorization law, MAP 21. It's similar to a couple of conforming amendments that we made to the bill that are presently in the bill. Have a slight preference that we actually hear these matters before committee, but I do understand this is a fairly small matter, a conforming technical change, and so I'm comfortable with the amendment.
Further discussion of the A-15 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor of the A-15 amendment, please say aye. Opposed? No. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Further discussion of Senate File 1270, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. I wish to reconsider the OSMEC amendment. I voted on the prevailing side.
Senator Limmer moves to reconsider the vote by which the OSMET amendment was defeated. All those in favor?
I'd ask for a roll call, Madam Chair.
A roll call has been requested. The secretary will take the roll. A green vote will reconsider the motion by which the OSMET amendment was defeated. Secretary will take the roll. Members will please vote. If you desire to vote, please vote. All members having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 28 ayes and 39 nays, the motion does not prevail. Further discussion on Senate File 1270. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I have an amendment which I think will be here in a minute or two, but I guess my question would be, would Senator Dibble be willing to just progress the bill briefly?
Senator Stenger, let's see if there's other, if there are other discussion or amendments. Is that agreeable? Are further discussion on Senate File 1270. Senator Tomasoni.
You, Madam President, I have an 822 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Tomasoni moves to amend Senate File number 1270 as follows. Page 33, after line 4, insert. This is the A22 amendment.
Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, the 822 amendment is specific to the area of the state where I'm from, and it's in regards to the moving of Highway 53 that goes through Eveleth in Virginia. And the issue here is that the mining companies own the property that the Highway 53 is located on, and the easement that was signed in 1960 has now become due, and the highway needs to be moved. There has been a considerable discussion, and this is a thing that's been going on for a number of years, and the reason for the amendment is because there are two very good routes, one that called the M1 and one called the E2, that are both acceptable amendments or routes of the highway that will go one through the pit, the M1, and one around the pit. And the problem that's been happening is that the department has been proposing a westerly route that is totally unacceptable to anybody, and it would change the entire layout, would bypass four cities, would turn a four-lane highway into a two-lane highway, would end up with four interchanges that we don't need, and would make the distance that people have to travel to get to their destination 15 to 20 miles farther. It would result in schools having to travel farther. It would result in 911 services having to go in different directions and go far away from their hospitals, and it would also reduce the speed limit that is allowable on Highway 53. The several businesses have invested in their business along Highway 53 because of the fact that they were told by MnDOT that the westerly route was not an option about a year ago. It's been put back on the table by MnDOT, and members, even Congressman Nolan, said it's a non-starter. It's not. It can't be done. We can't do the westerly route. And members, these two routes are both acceptable and will both work, and I just appreciate your support.
I wish to inform the body that the server is down, which releases the amendments. So I'm just going to read it to you. Section 54, it's at page 33 after line 4, insert. Section 54, marked U.S. Highway 53 relocation project. Notwithstanding any law to the contrary, the Commissioner of Transportation must select and implement either the M1 or the E2 layout as identified in the alternatives analysis conducted by the Department of Transportation, or variations of the M1 or E2 layouts for the project involving the relocation of marked U.S. Highway 53 between Eveleth and Virginia. The effective date, this section is effective the day following final enactment. Discussion of the A22 amendment. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to let members know that I have had a brief conversation with Senator Thomsoni on this bill, and I rise in support of his amendment.
Further discussion of the A22 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Further discussion of Senate File 1270. Seeing none, the Secretary... Oh, I'm sorry, and Senator Senjum. Yes, we were waiting for you. Excuse me. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I have the A52 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Senjum moves to amend Senate File number 1270 as follows. Page 25 after line 12, insert. This is the A52 amendment.
Senator Senjum, on the A52 amendment.
Madam President, members, this is simply a continuation of our discussion on the Interstate 35 corridor through St. Paul. And effectively, the amendment says that the department, in other words, the Department of Public Safety, shall not keep on the record of a driver any conviction for a violation of a speed limit on this section of highway, and that's defined in the amendment, unless the violation consists of a speed greater than 10 miles per hour in excess of the speed limit. In other words, if you get a ticket at 55 or under on that stretch of road, you would not have that that ticket recorded on your driver's file within the Department of Public Safety. Madam President, I'd stand for questions, ask for support.
Discussion on the A52 amendment. Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam President. I think that's a great compromise. I think that's what we're all here for, is we find compromises. And that was a big issue. So many people I've talked to around the state or from other states traveling through the cities all of a sudden get about halfway through and they see a 45 and go, 45? Are you kidding me? And they slow way down. And they're afraid of what's happening because they don't want a ticket. For hospitality's sake, for the state of Minnesota, be hospitable, Madam President. We need to change that and at least not give a record to somebody to put it on the record, because we've decided as a state, this body has decided that as a state, we only want that 45. Well, at least let's not penalize people so much that it's in our, yes, thank you, Senator Limerick, in our capital city, Madam President, that we wouldn't penalize our visitors that would be coming here. So I would want a green vote on that amendment.
I think we just got Pastor Hall goes to St. Paul. Senator Cohen.
Madam President and Senator Hall, congratulations. People have heard me say, I guess I've been here for a while. This is without question, one of the single most creative amendments I've ever seen. If we gave awards for most creative amendment or most best amendment trying to circumvent what the body had done a few minutes ago, if this isn't a top five over the last decade, I don't know what is. So I appreciate, and of course I'm an arts guy, so I really appreciate creativity. But having said that, I got to ask members to vote no on this, because what it does, obviously, is take the language of Senator Hall's prior amendment, puts it in a different form to make sure that there's not going to be any speed limit on 35. We've talked about this. We've talked about the reasons for it. And I will certainly suggest that, creative as this is, it does do the same thing the previous amendment did, and it circumvents a federal court order. Now, we can get into a long discussion about federal preemption, but until somebody has a way around the U.S. Constitution relative to what a federal court can do or cannot do relative to federal roads, this amendment fails in the same way that Senator Hall's early amendment failed. And, Madam President, I ask for a roll call.
Pardon?
I would ask for a roll call on the amendment.
Roll call. And I inform the members that the system is back up, so you should be getting the amendments on your computers. Senator, anyone else wish to speak on this amendment? Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm tempted to vote for it because it is so creative. It's just great. It's Sonna Dimler. I love it. Just for 35E. But to Senator Cohen's point, regrettably, I would not be in favor of the A52 as much as I like it. I'm going to save it, though, forever in my file. Who knows, might pass. But I'm going to save it for sure because it's a great piece of work. But it does absolutely defeat the intent. I would guess that it would probably be in violation of the consent, the federal consent decree, and we'd find ourselves in a legal proceeding fairly quickly.
Members, I would like to announce the time. It is 2:16 p.m. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're just starting to have some fun. I would ask for sure that all non-lawyers in the chamber vote for this amendment. If you're hung up in the legalese of all of this, and not being a lawyer myself, but you know, we're not going to change the 45's posting. It's still posted 45 miles an hour. So you know, we're taking care of the courts. I think we haven't mucked that up at all. But what we're doing here is simply saying that if you do get a ticket, and if you're, that ticket's recorded under 55 miles an hour, it doesn't go on your driving record. And so I think you know, we're trying to please the courts. We're trying to please the people. And what could be better? That's why we're here.
Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair and members, I would urge members to vote no on this amendment. Really, I don't understand why when you're driving into St. Paul on this lovely parkway that you just can't relax and smell the flowers. I mean, that's my creative comment. Madam Chair, could I have a roll call vote on this?
A roll call.
I'm sorry. Call
Senator Pappas has already been requested.
All right. The reality is this was a very, very contentious and difficult fight when 35E was, it was actually 35E was stopped for months because of the lawsuit. And so the settlement really is around noise. It's the noise level is less at 45 than at 55. And there's hospitals in the area with patients that's very sensitive, with equipment that's very sensitive to noise, plus the neighborhoods that live around there. If we were to pass this, even this very creative amendment that it would allow people to feel free about driving 55, I guarantee you we'd be in court immediately. And the state doesn't need, for those of you who are sensitive about the state wasting money, this would definitely be a waste of money on the part of the states to have to deal with this in federal court. It's not a smart amendment. It comes up every year, and every year we fight it. And really, members, I think you need to just take a deep breath. This is a stressful place, and to have that little relaxing drive for the last few minutes through the snow and hopefully through the flowers before we're out of here, I think we should just let it go. And before I give up the microphone, I would like to ask, impose the call of the Senate. Thank you.
Senate is
for the remainder of the proceedings.
The Senate is under call. The Secretary will take the roll.
Call your mother.
I'll ask her as soon as we can. Senator Pappas.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, please say aye. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails. The sergeant of arms will bring in the absent members. Senator Pappas, I wonder if you would clarify your motion in posing the call of the Senate. If you said for the balance of the proceedings, did you mean under this amendment or for the bill?
For the bill.
Thank you, Senator Pappas. So we have the A52 amendment. Further discussion on the A52 amendment? Senator Westrom.
Madam President, wondering if Senator Cohen would yield for a question.
Senator Cohen, do you yield for a question? He does. Senator Westrom.
Madam President, Senator Cohen, you indicated too you thought this was quite creative. I'm guessing your observation would be the settlement didn't prescribe any penalties under law that would have to be cited. Would you agree? And would you agree this is probably something that legally could be done in the state of Minnesota?
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, Senator Westrom, I would agree that the consent decree signed by Judge Magnuson did not have any penalties as such. But no, I would not agree that the state legislature could circumvent, either by direct or indirect means, the consent decree of the federal court. I stand second to no one in applauding Senator Hall's creativity, but that doesn't allow us to abrogate a federal court order, creative or not.
Senator Westrom.
Well, Madam President, Senator Cohen, we've changed over the years the penalty that people get for these, and so I think this is quite consistent with what's been done traditionally and what would be allowed. So I do think this amendment would have strength of the law, and we would have the ability as a legislature to do this. Madam President, I'm just wondering if Senator Senjum would yield for a question.
Senator Senjum, do you yield? He yields. Senator Westrom.
Madam President, Senator Senjum, 55 is what your amendment says. Would you be open to a friendly amendment of 65?
Senator Senjum.
Madam President, we were just talking 35, but we're always friendly around here, Senator Westrom.
And Madam President,
Senator Westrom,
to Senator Pappas's point, next time I'm driving 45 on this freeway, I will smell the flowers.
Senator Hand.
Thank you. Members, I agree with the Senjum amendment. I think we should pass this amendment. I think it's certainly within our jurisdiction to decide what kind of penalties ought to be assessed for people who drive at certain speed limits. That's certainly within the province of this body to decide that. This does nothing to set aside any of the federal laws. And I think that, you know, a lot of things have changed in the last 30 years. That's when this agreement was made, and things have changed. And we ought to be on the right side of history on this matter, don't you think? And Senator Senjum is agreeing with me. And I think we ought to recognize that a lot of things have changed, that this was an agreement that was made at one time, that maybe it made sense, but as we've heard today, there are a lot of people that drive through this state, a lot of people who live in this state. 55 is not an unreasonable speed limit. I agree. The effect of Senator Senjum's amendment would be to say, well, people who are driving 55, they would be in technical violation of the law. They just wouldn't get a fine for it, which is certainly within the right of this body to decide what the fine should be for superseding the law. I think it's a reasonable compromise. It should satisfy both parties in this debate about what we should do. But let's do the right thing. Let's let people be free to drive. Let's do that. Let's do the right thing.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Senjum yield for a question?
Senator Senjum, do you yield? He does. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Senjum, to understand the amendment, then, if you're charged with going over the speed limit up to 10 miles an hour, the officer would have the discretion. If you were going at 15 or 20 miles an hour, he or she could drop that down to 10 on the tag. They're still going to get a fine, but it's not going to go on their record. Is that exactly what this says? Madam
Senator
President, members, and Senator Ingebrigtsen, yes, that is correct. Senator Hahn was a little bit wrong in his characterization. The fine would still occur. It just doesn't go on your driver's license record.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you for that clarification, Senator Senjum. And members, I'm going to give you a little bit of a perspective from the guy that used to be out there enforcing the traffic laws. And I do remember when this came into effect on the 55 zone, and along with that came some pretty stiff fines, if I remember. The court systems came from, and Senator Cohen can probably remember this, when it came from the county system into the state system, when the fines actually went up to a more uniform type system. And quite frankly, there was some fines that were a little bit out of line. And I say that as an enforcement officer at that time. We were dinging the public pretty heavy, quite frankly. And especially if it was the first or second violation. And we always had the discretion. The sheriff or the chief always gave the discretion. You didn't have to write a ticket. Contrary to what a lot of people think, that we don't get quotas. We have quotas at the beginning of the shift. It does not go on, as far as I know, and I've been around for a while. But when you have an opportunity like this to correct some action, like speeding, and you catch them going 15 or even 21 miles over the speed limit, it's a lot better, a little more of an easier way to write a ticket to the person if it is their first time. You're really giving them a break. You're giving them that maybe 10 or 6 over break down to 10 miles an hour. Plus, it's not going to go on their record, which, quite frankly, they worry about a lot more than that fine. So this is a tremendous compromise here with the fight one way or the other. Doesn't matter to me whether it's 30, 45, or 55, but for sure there's going to be some people going over. And to Senator Cohen's admission, nobody's going the speed limit out there right now. And to take somebody and actually put it on their record and give them the big fine, to have that option as an officer, I think this is a real good amendment. I'd ask for support of this amendment.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam President. Let me speak specifically to my colleagues across the political aisle. There'll be no criminal record that will come from this, but you will have to pay. So just think about this as a toll road that transfers wealth from the suburbs to the city, and I think we got your vote.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I regret extending the discussion. I was trying to not say something more, but I do have to share a little bit of information that I do have from the Department of Transportation, which is that in all likelihood, this, of course, would defeat the consent decree, and that would be found as such. And in that instance, members and Madam President, it is likely that the Federal Highway Administration would then require the state to repay the $40 million federal contribution that went in to building 35E. So this doesn't come without cost. There is actual consequence and cost to adopting a provision like this.
Further discussion, Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. You know, the proposed amendment isn't asking to change the law relative to the speed limit. It just changes the implementation and the enforcement and the penalties associated with that law. And it's ironic to me that the arguments against that, because of federal supremacy and a U.S. court decision, it's ironic that the arguments are coming out of Minneapolis and St. Paul, which are both, or representatives from Minneapolis and St. Paul, which are both sanctuary cities, which don't enforce federal laws. So if that's fine in Minneapolis and St. Paul, then this amendment should be fine as well.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam President. In my profession, there are a lot of people that want to be legalistic. And when they start acting that way, I ask them, what is the spirit of this law? Not just the letter of the law, what is the spirit? And I think this is exactly what, and may I say, for those of you that think that I was this creative to come up with, I wasn't. This was our former majority leader, Senator Senjum's idea. I only confirmed that it was a good idea, not, as Senator Pappas said, a bad stupid piece of legislation. I think this is a really good compromise, and it shows the spirit of Minnesota. The spirit of Minnesota is to be hospitable. We have a law that most of us, if not, yes, most of us, I'll say, realizes that this law, Madam President, is extreme for the whole country. And all we're doing is changing a part of it that's legal to do, I believe, and shows the spirit of this law. And I think we should vote green on it. Please support it.
Secretary will take the roll on the A52 amendment. Senate is under call. Members will please vote. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. Being 36 ayes and 31 nays, the motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Further discussion, Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Dibble yield for a question?
Senator Dibble, will you yield? He yields. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. My question, Senator Dibble, relates to Section 53. And this particular section, Senator Dibble, to just give you a few minutes' time to get to the section, is about the Commissioner of Public Safety shall make all reasonable efforts to refrain from enforcing state laws that are in conflict with provisions enacted in the federal public law, moving ahead for progress in the 21st Century Act, MAP 21, that is the transportation, federal transportation bill. Senator Dibble, could you enlighten me as to which state laws we're asking our Commissioner of Public Safety to refrain from enforcing?
Senator Dibble.
Madam President, Senator Kiffmeyer. This came in as an agency request, and it's kind of a technical federal conforming. And I think what's going on is that there's a process of trying to bring our state laws into conformance with the new federal MAP 21 law, which is the Federal Surface Transportation Reauthorization, previously known as ICE-T, T21, et cetera. This is a two-year, 18-month federal reauthorization for the Surface Transportation Authorization Act, which contemplates a number of changes and, in fairly quick order, some state laws might be at variance. And so this is an effort to bring those items into conformity. I don't know specifically what those are. I can find those as we move on to conference committee, Senator Kiffmeyer, if you like. But this, like I said, was an agency clarifying language.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, Senator Dibble, I find that a bit unsatisfactory that we're expected to vote on a bill, not on a section of the bill, and we don't know which state laws, we don't know which federal laws of a brand new federal law that's been passed. It seems to me the more appropriate way for this to be done, and usual federal conformity, is when you have a specific state law or federal law, and with our eyes open, with transparency, we can know what we're voting on. But here we're expected to vote for some unnamed state laws that might conflict. And so, Madam President, I would like to put forward the A51 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
C-51,
Senator Kiffmeyer moves to amend Senate File Number 1270 as follows. Page 32, delete Section 53. This is the A51 amendment.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I think that as this goes to conference committee, it would be more appropriate that when the Commissioner of Public Safety has specific state laws that are an issue, that this should be taken care of on a case-by-case basis rather than a caveat. And I think for us as members to vote on something that is so unspecific, especially in contradicting state laws in a matter of public safety, is a great concern. And members, I would ask for a green vote. Thank you. And I ask for roll call.
Call. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator Kiffmeyer. This is an initiative that came before us as a result of the farm groups around the Capitol. The federal government has passed some changes with regard to roadside inspections and ag vehicles, and we just think it's important that the state is consistent with regard to federal law. And so I brought this to the Transportation Committee. I forget the bill number, but I asked Senator Jensen to offer this as an amendment to the Transportation Committee for the ag groups. They're very pleased that this amendment is in there, and I would ask for the members to support farmers as they're trying to do good things for the state's economy.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. If I recall, earlier today, we did have a ag conforming issue amendment that was brought before this body. And I believe that is already taken care of, unless Senator Skoy would like to respond further if that was not the case.
Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Kiffmeyer, I believe that was a further clarification of the federal rules and requirements, that when the rules and requirements were implemented at the federal level, then the department would further not reply to them. But these are different provisions, and I would like to keep both of them in Senator Dibble's bill.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Skoy, there's nothing in this language that talks about ag or farming. How would any one of us be able to know such information from this kind of amendment? Would Senator Skoy yield to a question? How would we know that this has to do with ag?
Senator Skoy, will you yield? He will yield. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Kiffmeyer, well, we'd have to get the statute books out to review exactly the provisions, but in discussions with the ag groups that are around the Capitol, I am here to inform you that it's what it deals with is roadside inspections for ag trucks.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. And I would hope, members, that deleting this section would not harm the ability of some of these issues coming forward. But at this time, I would like to proceed to a vote because I'm uncertain. Senator Skoy, I appreciate what you're saying here, and some ag groups have told you this, but it certainly leaves me to a much broader situation. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Skoy, for reminding me. And I do recall now that as I contemplate the committee discussion and process, this particular amendment did go into the bill on a unanimous voice vote. Senator Kiffmeyer, I don't recall if you were present at committee on that particular day. But I would just call members' attention to the specific language. It says make all reasonable efforts. And, of course, you know, we know that we can't preempt federal law anyways. And part of the challenge is that MAP 21 is a two-year reauthorization, and so time is short to go through all of the various rules and statutes, et cetera, to conform state law. We're going to be back with federal reauthorization now in less than 2 years, of course. Typically, federal surface transportation reauthorizations are for 6 years, allowing for sufficient time to review all those things and bring our laws into conformity. We don't really have the luxury of that time, and so hence this technical clarifying amendment was brought in, which I think helps our circumstances, freight haulers, ag groups, et cetera.
Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, the secretary will take the roll on Senate File 12, excuse me, on the amendment, on the A51 amendment. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 27 in favor, 40 opposed, the amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments? Senator Osmak.
Thank you, Madam President. I would move the A53 amendment.
The secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Osmak moves to amend Senate File Number 1270 as follows, page 20, line 35. And this is the A53 amendment.
Senator Osmak.
Thank you, Madam President. I won't belabor the point. This is very reminiscent of my first amendment. This simply makes a statement in the bill that changes line on page 20, line 35. Makes it read within a designated bicycle lane, but only when posted signs prohibit parking. What this does is says to the local jurisdictions that if you want to have prohibited parking in a bike lane, you have all the authority to do it. The one slight change here is that we will actually be putting this into our driver's ed program because it'll be part of state statute. So it'll be something that, driver's ed and training individuals can highlight to make sure that they can have drivers. You can park in there, but when there's a sign saying you can't park, that you can't park there. So I would urge a green vote, and I would ask for a roll call vote, please.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Is there any discussion on the A53 amendment? Senator Tibble.
Thank you, Madam President. I would be opposed to the A53 amendment. I think it's reminiscent of the earlier discussion that we made. Again, I don't know why we would go through the trouble of developing bicycle lanes, indicating safe passage for bicycles, quite clearly marked. Just as I gave the example of my having picked up someone in an otherwise moving traffic lane and got the ticket, a bicycle lane is a moving lane. There is the opportunity to sign for parking in those if in fact cities want to do that certain times, certain places, or otherwise. So I would be against the A53 amendment.
Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, the secretary will take the vote on the A53 amendment. We are under call. Members should please vote. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 29 in favor, 37 opposed, the amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments? Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to offer the A16 amendment.
The secretary will report the amendment. Senator Kent.
Senator Kent moves to amend Senate file number 1270 as follows, page 15 after line 29. And this is the A16 amendment.
Now, Senator Kent.
Madam President, thank you. In the driver and vehicle services portion of the bill on page 15, there was an effort to make consistent language in sales of both late model, high value, and older model vehicles that are being dismantled or destroyed in order to prevent retitling of junked vehicles. In the process, there were some concerns that full service auto dealers would be placed under an undue burden. Sometimes vehicles, older vehicles, are brought in for service and then abandoned when they find out the cost of service. And so this amendment is offered to provide some exceptions for auto dealers, drivers of vehicle services, and the auto dealers are in favor of this amendment.
Is there any discussion on the A16 amendment? Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. I always support the auto dealers. And so I accept the A16 amendment.
Any more discussion on the A16 amendment?
Madam President.
Senator Peterson.
Madam President, I just encourage members to support the amendment as well. It's a good move, an improvement to the bill if you plan to support the bill.
Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Are there any other amendments? Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to move the A54 amendment.
The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Kiffmeyer moves to amend Senate File Number 1270 as follows, page 20, line 35, and this is the A54 amendment.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. And members, this is one more try at this focus on the bicycle lane and recognizing that, Madam President, in the city of Minneapolis, this is a very big issue for you. And so I kind of thought you should have your way in the city of Minneapolis. And so this amendment does exactly that. After the word lane, you just insert located within the city of Minneapolis. And Madam President, then the other cities in the state of Minnesota and the other jurisdictions will have the opportunity to implement their bike lanes and their bike laws as it is the state of Minnesota, not just the state of Minneapolis. So, Madam Chair, I urge a green vote for Amendment A54. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I would be opposed to the A54 amendment. Madam President, this is supported by the League of Minnesota Cities, professionals at the City of Winona, Senator Miller, and also by the Statewide Bicycle Coalition. This is not confined just to Minneapolis.
Senator Dietzick.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Kiffmeyer, I appreciate the creativity and what you're trying to do, but I do think it is a consistency matter and that it needs to be the rules need to be consistent across the state. And so I urge a no vote. Thank you.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam President. And for those of us who live in suburban districts, we can manage our own bike policy. This is a good amendment, and I'd ask for a roll call on it.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam President. And if Senator Dibble would answer a question he's referred to a couple of times, that it's supported by the state, the Bicycle Coalition, Statewide Bicycle Coalition. I'm not familiar with that organization. I'm just wondering if maybe he could tell us how many people are members of this coalition or who it represents or just
I'm not familiar with it, and I just wanted to know more about it. Are there thousands, millions of people who are part of this organization, or just what is the constituency?
Senator Hand, who are you asking to yield? I missed that.
Madam President, Senator Dibble has
Senator
referred
Dibble.
To this organization a couple of times, but I'm not familiar with it, and I'm just asking for clarification on who they
Senator
are.
Senator Dibble, will you yield? Senator Dibble will yield. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. I don't know their membership, but I'm pretty familiar with the organization. They are over here quite a bit working on transportation policy, bike ped policy, et cetera. They've been around for several years. They have a large membership. Senator Han, I can shoot over to you a link to their website. You can learn some more about them. They are the statewide bicycle coalition of folks who are interested in bike policy, bicycle advocacy, and the like. Don't know their membership, but it's, more than two and less than, a million.
Any more discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on the A54 amendment. We are under call. Members would please vote. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 28 in favor, 38 opposed, the amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments? Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to offer the A23 amendment.
The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Kent moves to amend Senate file number 1270 as follows, page 29 after line 22. This is the A23 amendment.
Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam President. When I initially offered Senate File 948 as a bill in the Transportation Committee, it was specifically in reference to the process of developing the Gateway Corridor Transitway in the East Metro in Washington County and the original exception for Regional Rail Authority to be expanded to include bus rapid transit in addition to rail was focused specifically on Washington County. In the meantime, the discussion has evolved and there has been consensus that this should be broadened to include all of the metro counties. At the time that the Regional Rail Authority was originally envisioned, there was no such thing as bus rapid transit. And so now it is believed that bus rapid transit is consistent with similar provisions and that this authority should be broadened.
Are there any questions? Is there any discussion? Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would Senator Kent yield to a question?
Senator Kent will yield. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Senator Kent, I'm noticing that this language is only for the counties of Anoka, Carver, Dakota, Hennepin, Ramsey, Scott, and Washington. Could you explain why only those counties?
Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Kiffmeyer, part of this is because this is what has been passed as well on a parallel path in the transportation finance omnibus bill, and these are the counties in which the rail authorities are being considered, and then the authority would need to be broadened for bus rapid transit.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Kent yield to another question?
Senator Kent will yield. Senator Kiffmeyer.
So, Senator Kent, wouldn't this be good for the entire state of Minnesota?
Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Kiffmeyer, at this point, the transit lines that are being discussed are primarily in the metro area, and that's why the metropolitan counties are included in this. But I'm sure as discussions evolve and people want to consider bus rapid transit in greater Minnesota, they could certainly be included.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. I think Senator Kent handled the question well. I would just direct members' attention to line 1.9. These are about the transitways, the bus rapid transit lines that are included in the Metropolitan Council's 2030 Transportation Policy Plan. And this simply allows regional rail authorities in the metropolitan area who have traditionally been confined to doing some of the preliminary initial work on feasibility studies, on some of the early alternatives analysis, some of the, a little bit of right-of-way acquisition, those sorts of activities that occur very, very early on in the process, and they've been confined only to undertaking those sorts of activities for light rail transit. This allows for, you know, what is considered to be the kind of the rubber wheel alternative to light rail transit, which is bus rapid transit. And so it's a small change allowing some of that effort by the property tax from the regional rail authorities for bus rapid transit in addition to some of the rail initiatives that are going on in the metro area.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Dibble yield for a question?
Will Senator Dibble yield? Senator Dibble will yield. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. I understand that you had just said that this was early on, kind of a preliminary authority, but as I'm reading line 1.6, starting on 1.6, we're providing powers confirmed under this section to plan, establish, acquire, develop, purchase, enlarge, extend, improve, and then maintain, equip, and regulate and protect, and pay costs of construction. This doesn't sound too preliminary to me. This seems like it's the whole shooting match of authority that we're going to give to, I think, acquire property, develop property, construct property. That doesn't sound too preliminary to me. That sounds full hog into it. So could you point out the preliminary aspect of this once again in light of the comments that I had just read from this amendment?
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. The role of the regional rail authorities has, for a long time now in the metropolitan area, been to do, under some of these descriptions, a lot of the very initial work before any other dollars are put into some of these projects, some of these transitways. The very early work is doing the planning, early feasibility studies, some of the alternatives analysis, some of the little bit of right-of-way acquisition, et cetera. As the plans are more further refined and developed, Madam President, Senator Limmer, sure, some of the additional costs, some of the additional capital costs and the like. But the regional rail authorities have been, first of all, there's not a lot of money there, and they're under natural property tax cap limits and the like, and they're also limited formally in the amount that they can contribute towards the entire project cost. So by its very nature, the nature of this money is limited to some of the initial stages and some of the smaller amounts. The rest of those dollars then come in from state contribution, the federal contribution, and the County Transportation Improvement Board tax that's construed by the sales tax on a metro, or now the five-county area. There may be some dollars as well from the transit taxing district, which is of course a subset of the metropolitan area, for some of the capital effort as well. But these dollars are usually the early and first dollars in. Doesn't mean that some dollars don't follow as the project ripens just a bit. But if your question, Senator Limmer, is, you know, our county is going to be building entire bus rapid transit systems, that's not the case, and that's frankly not possible.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Dibble, did this aspect or this amendment come to the committee and have any hearing on it regarding this rapid transit development proposal in your committee?
Senator Dibble.
Madam President, Senator Limmer, in the policy bill, it was confined only to Washington County. However, this language is identical to the bill that we passed out of committee in the finance bill. And yes, it was heard.
Senator Limmer.
Madam Chair, this and members, this bill pertains to nearly, probably even more than 50% of the state's population. In the counties that are mentioned, these are the metropolitan counties. I believe it's a 7-county metropolitan area. This may have some good merit, but I certainly would like to have more information regarding the details of how we're going to facilitate the planning, developing, the purchasing, the extension of improvements, the regulating, the protecting, and paying costs of the construction. The way I read it, we're giving authority to the Met Council to do all of that by this one simple amendment. Madam Chair, I would request a roll call vote on this.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Any more discussion? Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to reiterate that the authority that is designated in here is already in statute for regional rail. And what this does, as was done for Dakota County in 2005, is it extends it to include the newer technology of bus rapid transit as part of its process. It is already there, and now this extension to include bus rapid transit is being extended for the remainder of the counties. This authority already exists for rail. Thank you.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Kent yield?
Senator Kent will yield. Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Kent, I'm not real familiar with the transportation issues, but the Met Council is mentioned in this amendment. Can you explain to me, does this expand the authority of the Met Council in this amendment that you're offering?
Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam President. I would submit that it actually does not expand that authority. I would say that it just adjusts it to incorporate a new technology, a new transportation means, which is bus rapid transit. So the rail authority transit already exists, and this just says that for the regional rail authorities who are considering a variety of transit options, they may now incorporate bus rapid transit in addition to traditional rail.
Senator Brown.
Madam President, would Senator Kent yield?
Senator Kent will yield. Senator Brown.
Thank you. Senator Kent, can you explain this part of your amendment to me? It says within on lines 1.8 and 1.9, within its county on transit ways included in and approved by the Met Council's 2030 Transportation Policy Plan. I'm just not familiar enough with this. Can you explain to me what role the Met Council has in your amendment?
Senator Kent.
Thank you, Madam President. Met Council is the governing body. Met Council is the governing body in this instance, and they have this authority. It already exists in statute.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, members, the Transportation Policy Plan is the document, kind of the overarching document authorized by state statute, that in which we authorize the expenditure of public dollars, public efforts in the seven county metro area on transitways. So, if you're familiar with, we talk about the map, the vision, et cetera. As transitways are being conceptualized and being contemplated in certain corridors, amendments are made to the transportation policy plan through a fairly prescribed and prescriptive process. It's in the statutes. You can look it up for yourself. But it's an interactive process that's undertaken by the Metropolitan Council in conjunction with regional rail authorities, counties, the County Transportation Improvement Board, and those transitways, which are part of the transportation policy plan, part of the map, the vision, are those that are authorized to receive these sorts of public expenditures of study, you know, the list that we read before.
Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, the secretary will take the roll on the A23 amendment. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 39 in favor, 27 opposed, the amendment is adopted. Are there any other amendments? Seeing no other amendments, the secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File Number 1270, a bill for an act relating to transportation, modifying provisions governing transportation and public safety policies, including highway signs, highway jurisdictions, accounts, state aid, definitions and variances, etc.
Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, the secretary will take the roll on Senate File 1270. All senators having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 48 in favor, 19 opposed, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Bach. Oh, are there, 13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest. Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to remind members that there is a legislative open house tonight for the debut of the Civil War exhibit at the History Center. It starts at 5:30 p.m. and runs until 8 p.m. Thank you.
Senator Saxhawk.
Thank you, Madam President. State Department's and Veterans Budget Division will meet 15 minutes after adjournment.
Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam President. Environment, Economic Development, and Ag will meet 15 minutes after adjournment.
Are there any other announcements?
Madam President.
Senator Sieben. Nope. Who's standing? Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, Higher Ed Workforce Development Committee will meet in room 123, 15 minutes after adjournment.
Any other announcements? Senator Senjum.
Madam President, members, I would just like to once again remind people of the Senate reunion. As I recall, it's May 9th, but you all got notices on that. April 25th, which is coming soon, a couple days, is the last time that we will kind of accept registrations to that. So if you're interested and you don't have your envelope, or you know, just contact me and we'll make that work. But we have deadlines, and it's going to be a good time, so I'd really urge all of you to come. But we got to know that you're coming here pretty quickly. A couple days, I have to know.
Madam President.
Senator Sieben.
The Subcommittee on Elections will meet immediately following adjournment in room 15 of the Capitol.
Any other announcements? Senator Bach.
Madam President, Senator Senjum, I've sent my registration in. And I would encourage other members to do that. When we had that reunion a few years ago, it really was an enjoyable evening. So give some thought to doing that. Members, the House is currently on the K-12 bill. So our intent would be to recess and come back with what somebody suggested today would be a minimum staffing level for when we reconvene to accept the message from the House on the K-12 bill. So. No need for everybody to come back. And we may run into what we ran into last night, that they decide to drag it on into the late into the night or in the morning, and so we may end up just coming back and adjourning. But if we can get that message, our hope would be to receive that message on the K-12 bill yet today. So with that, Madam President, I move a recess of the Senate.
All those in favor of the motion to recess, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate is in recess. The Senate will come to order. Remaining under motions and resolutions, messages from the House, the third order of business. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file herewith transmitted. House file number 630, signed Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
We proceed to the fourth order of business, first reading of House bills. We'll give Senate House file 630, first reading. Will be referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration for comparison with Senate file number 453, now on general orders. We now go to the 13th order of business, announcement of Senate interests. Are there any announcements?
Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senator Miller from 11 to 1:40 p.m., Senator Hayden from 2:40 to 2:50 p.m., Senator Sieben from 2:50 to 3:05 p.m. Are there any other announcements? Senator Hayden.
Madam President, I move to adjourn to April 24th, 2013 at 11 a.m.
All those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned.
That was more ayes than I normally get. And we also